League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the latest edition of the Green 19 podcast previewing the Packers Sunday night contest in New Orleans. I am one of your hosts, Jim Ozarski, along with Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and PackersNews.com. And Tom, before we dive into the Saints specifically, let's kind of go satellite view and look at this 2-0 Packers team. Fairly historic. Last time we talked, they were scoring points at a rate that they had not since they were beating a bunch of, iron workers and meat packers back in the 1919. And
those guys are probably tougher than everybody else on the field nowadays. But.
Right. And, over 1,000 yards of offense. And while the defense has its issues, they've obviously done just enough to win games pretty convincingly. So let's just start there. What a 2-0 team, 2-0 in the division. Just a reminder for folks, there's a third wild card team this year. So they're already in – sort of great position, great start in a lot of ways, just even after two wins, Tom.
Yeah, they have basically taken care of business. And in this year, well, really in any year, what you got to do is take care of business in the division. And then you worry about playoff seeding, at the end of the season or later in the season. But right now you're just playing for the division. And so they did what they're supposed to do, which is continue the undefeated streak that Matt LaFleur has of beating NFC North teams. And surprisingly, I don't think we would have guessed that they would be tied with the Chicago Bears for the lead in the division. But they're the only one who is 2-0 in the division. So it's exactly the start you would want going into a potentially really tough game against New Orleans Saints.
For the record, I will say I had the Bears as one of those wild card teams. So I'll hang on.
Wow.
Don't look at my other predictions around the league. We can forget those.
I had the 49ers winning the Super Bowl. So,
yeah,
they're already out. I've folded and we've just gotten one card apiece.
Yeah. It's, I wrote about this, after the Lions win, and to your point, Tom, it's taking care of business. Last year, one of the reasons I thought the Packers would regress in record this year was because they were 8-1 in one possession games a year ago. And that math never holds up over years. The brakes don't go your way that way. But guess what? If you just pound teams, then you don't have as many one possession games. And that's what they didn't do a year ago. We thought they were more talented than the opponent, they never just, as you said, took care of business and just handled it. And I think, even defensively, Tom, slower starts or a bad finish in Minnesota, it hasn't really mattered because the offense just took advantage of weaker matchups or weaker opponents on the other side. They just didn't do that a year ago.
Yeah. And my reasoning for not giving them a great record was I thought that injuries would catch up with them after a year in which injuries were not a factor for them at all. That, you know, how those things just, that pendulum swings. And I just had I just couldn't imagine them getting through the season the way they did a year ago, and thus it would be a much tighter division. But they continue to completely hold a rabbit's foot in their pocket, because even this week, you know, so they lost Billy Turner, and it turns out it's probably only going to be 2, maybe 3 weeks. He might be back this week. They lose Kenny Clark to a groin injury, but he's been at practice, so I don't think, like, surgery or anything is in his future. I think he's going to be back sooner than later. And then Davante Adams, they get him out of there as soon as he feels tightness in his hamstring, and there's even a chance he could play this week. So they just are riding this wave of good health, and that's a huge part of having a really good record. And then what you said, you know, they're blowing people out with their offense, and I don't think I expected that.
Yeah, it's the health is interesting, because look, guys may miss games, which didn't really happen a year ago, other than Davante Adams, but it they're not the season ending injuries that, you know, teams and rivals, you mentioned the 49ers, have seen.
Oh, it's yeah. Unreal. It's brutal. I mean, the Saquon Barkleys and Nick Bosa and, well, Tyrod Taylor, that was kind of their own fault. But, you know, I mean, the injuries, by the end of this season, a lot of it seems like some of the star power of this league is going to be sidelined. And we haven't even gotten into the COVID stuff. They've been unbelievably protective in COVID. So we haven't seen anything there yet.
Yeah. And, you know, especially around the NFC, Tom, I you know, there's, I think, what, 11 teams that are 2-0. You mentioned the Bears, but, you know, a team, for instance, like the Eagles, you know, the people are kind of knocking Carson Wentz, but it's kind of, their injuries didn't happen during weeks 1 and 2. They lost almost their entire offensive line in camp.
Yeah.
And then now they've had receivers get hurt. So really, it's, you're right. I mean,
Dallas got devastated by a couple of injuries. Right. You know, it's the NFC. It really is going to be a battle of attrition, and which team can avoid the most injuries has the best chance of probably winning the conference.
Right. And it's interesting, Tom, as we had, you know, looked at their schedule, the Packers actually are avoiding, other than a crossover with the 49ers, which as this currently looks, that game may not be the type of, I think Kyle Shanahan has outcoached Matt LaFleur enough, and his staffs have that you kind of got to think the 49ers will still be in that game out in the Bay on a short week when the Packers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But
unless Nick Mullins is their starter,
right?
At quarterback, who he probably will be this week.
Right.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
No. But I mean, it's they're avoiding the NFC West, which has 3 2-0 teams. The NFC South, you know, as they head to New Orleans, 0-2 in Carolina. Christian McCaffrey's going to be out for weeks. Atlanta, I don't know what's going on there. Dan Quinn, I mean, I don't know. Is he still the coach after this? Yeah. They lose. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. So they're kind of shaping up in a way. I mean, the AFC South, Tennessee is Tennessee, but you know, Houston's 0-2. I don't know, Tom. It's really interesting. You know, you look at things ahead of time, and that's always the danger of predictions, right? You don't really know what'll happen until it happens. And the Packers, for sure, have. I mean, I will say this: I thought the Vikings and Lions were going to be bad and have losing records. They're well on their way, and I think the fact that the Packers handled business, as you said, is a good sign for them as they, frankly, head to New Orleans, Tom. You know, let's turn our attention there. You know, the Saints 1-1 benefited from what, 3 Tom Brady picks and a pick 6 in week 1. Michael Thomas gets hurt that game. They look pedestrian at best. I mean, they took a 17-7 lead or an early lead over Las Vegas, but I mean, that just didn't look great on Monday night. I mentioned Thomas. Let's maybe start there, Tom. Are there any matchups or maybe matchups we won't see due to injuries, you know, on Sunday night?
Well, it'd be a shame if both Michael Thomas and Davante Adams didn't play, because this is a showcase of two of the best wide receivers in the NFL. And with two veteran quarterbacks, of course, Breeze versus Rodgers is big, just as Rodgers versus Brady is. But I really think I would be watching as closely Thomas and Adams, just to see how they don't go against each other, but you know they're watching each other and they're aware of each other's numbers. So I don't know. It doesn't look good for Michael Thomas. It probably looks better for Davante Adams than it does for Michael Thomas. Thomas didn't practice yesterday. Adams didn't either. We just haven't gotten anything. But when Thomas got hurt, the sense was, I think, that it was going to be a little bit longer. Maybe Sean Payton's playing possum. So we'll find out today or Friday. But, yeah, that's a matchup. But there's another matchup that maybe is just as good, if not better, and that's Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara, two of the most complete backs in the NFL who are making as much noise catching the ball as they are running it. Kamara had 9 catches for 95 yards against the Raiders, and he had 22 touches altogether. So he is their team right now.
Yeah, but, you know, Tom, it's interesting. You mentioned the matchup, but so Kamara is really their best receiver at this point. Jared Cook, the tight end, who Packers fans, I think, still kind of pine for, is still an effective pass catcher. You know, there was a throw to Jared Cook that kind of seemed like it derailed the Saints offense that Drew Brees just couldn't make when he was wide open Monday night. But you would think the matchup, however, to watch would be Kamara and Latavius Murray as running backs against this Packers defense. But, you know, the Saints are averaging less than 4 yards a carry for both of those guys. And it's, you know, Kamara has 3 rushing touchdowns, but 21 of his 95 yards came on one run. I mean, so he's got 24 carries for 74 yards. Like, they're not really churning out the ground yardage that we've seen from this offense really since Kamara got there a couple years
ago. Yeah, that's true. And part of the thing in the Raiders game, well, actually, you know, when they were up 17-7, that would have been the time for them to start pounding the ball. But Oakland just got so hot and was just continually putting points on the board that eventually they just had to start passing the ball to try to match the Raiders. So, I think the Packers are a better running team than the Saints are. I don't know about passing. I don't know if they're as dangerous. I think Kamara is a better receiver than Aaron Jones is. But I think if you were to just line up and run the ball, and force both teams to run the ball, I think the Packers would be a better running team.
I think so too. And part of that is because we've seen it, you know, when Adams was out 4 games last year, the Packers averaged 31 points a game. That was kind of when Aaron Jones, especially that Kansas City game, really proved himself, if you will, as a split out wide receiving threat. We saw it against Detroit when the Lions went to take away Adams, you know, before he got hurt, 3 catches for 38 yards, and you almost got a first target in the second quarter. So you're right, Tom. I think if Adams doesn't play, I don't think Matt LaFleur is going to have any issue running out Marquez Valdes-Scantling as a single receiver with 3 tight ends and just sort of pounding the ball with play action or Tyler Irvin in the slot. I mean, we've already
seen games. The Packers are averaging, what, 6 yards per carry? Through 2 games against, I wouldn't say those defenses are slouches. Minnesota is still a pretty good, has those two really good linebackers, and they're still pretty decent. And Detroit isn't terrible. Their corners were really weak, and that was a problem. But they're, you know, even Jamal Williams, and I shouldn't say even, but he's having a heck of a start to the year. I mean, he's averaging 5.6 yards per carry. And I thought he was a really nice compliment to Aaron Jones.
Yeah, it's, you know, Williams, you know, Aaron Rodgers continues to rave about him at LaFleur as well, in terms of just how he's, you know, changed his body to a degree, and maybe become a little more versatile of a back in terms of their confidence in splitting him out, right? Because it was Aaron Jones last year. Williams probably had the catch of the year, that sliding end zone grab in Kansas City. But yeah, that wasn't really what he was known for, I guess. And we've seen him as this, as split out wide, right? Mm-hmm. And so it just adds a little bit. I kind of wrote this in the notes, Tom. He's reminding me a little bit now of when the 49ers paid Jerick McKinnon top five running back money after 4 years in Minnesota, where he's kind of like the second guy and was like, AP, Dalvin Cook, who's this Jerick McKinnon? The 49ers clearly thought he was a guy in the upswing. A lot of focus on Aaron Jones, but Jamal Williams is a free agent too. And, you know, he might be playing his way into a deal. But I guess, Tom, let's flip it back. We mentioned Kamara. What have you seen out of Breeze? I'm not quite buying the – I mean, I understand why the Packers publicly have to, you know, put wreaths on Drew Breeze's head right now, but – the guy that I've seen at the end of last year, the guy that we've seen through 2 weeks, is really missing the catch and run ability of Michael Thomas. I mean, he's not a push it down the field guy anymore. And all these other dudes are just kind of dudes through 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's hard to judge a guy when he's missing his best receiver. And Breeze, I don't know what happened on that interception he threw, but it was right to the defender, and I never got a chance to go back and look and see what happened there, but it was a bad interception. And you know, his numbers are always going to be pretty decent, but his touchdown numbers are what are kind of lacking now. And I think that's what not having Michael Thomas does to you. So I'm not sure. I want to give it a little more time before I declare him as not finished, but really kind of on the downside. It's just kind of hard to do. But I think, you know, you look at his yards per attempt is not very good. He's got three touchdowns and one interception. That's not good enough. So we'll get a pretty good idea. We'll get a better idea on Sunday night too of where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the last year or two, Tom. I mean, Taysom Hill is the one who's brought in to push the ball down the field. And look, I have no problem saying a 41-year-old quarterback isn't as good as he was at 40 or at 36 or at 30. So I won't be afraid to say I think Drew Brees needs more help than he used to. Sure, he can move around and he can maybe be accurate, but I don't think he's at the point anymore where he can carry, you know, average receivers. I mean, we've even talked about that with Aaron Rodgers and maybe why the Packers went to this current kind of offense where, you know, look, I'll say 41, he's not as good. He's not as good, Tom. And it's just it's one of those things where I think the Packers can maybe take advantage of that Sunday. If Michael Thomas isn't there, they can maybe press these guys. I mean, does 23-year-old Deontay Harris or 24-year-old Tre'Quan Smith, who has flashed, of course, is a big play guy these last few years. Emmanuel Sanders, Packers fans pined for him. He's 33. Four catches for 33 yards, 8 yards a pop. I mean, I'm not saying they're NFL players, Tom, but I think Breeze needs more help. And that's why Thomas is so vital to what they do. I think the Packers defensively with their corners and their safeties can kind of dictate a little bit, as opposed to even Kirk Cousins and Matthew Stafford. At least that's how I view it.
Yeah, I think they need to be aggressive, and I think they need to show that they can cover these guys. There's really no one that you have to double other than Kamara. And they should, you know, this should be a game where it's a good test for the secondary to just dominate. I mean, they need to be really good because they can win this game if the secondary is good and the pass rush is getting going. They got a chance to win because New Orleans is banged up on defense a little bit too. Two of their best pass rushers. Now they have a lot of pass rushers, but Trey Hendrickson was hurt his groin in the game. Marcus Davenport hasn't played yet this year. Cameron Jordan is a phenomenal player, but you know, their secondary got kind of chewed up by Gruden's offense, and that was really surprising. Malcolm Jenkins had a really bad game. Their two corners, Janoris Jenkins and Marshawn Lattimore, are outstanding, and then they've got, you know, depth there with Patrick Robinson. So it's going to be a challenge, but this game is winnable for the Packers.
I think it does start off with what they've been doing. And I don't, obviously at this point, there's no reason to deviate. I don't think the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, would deviate from the plan, so to speak. I can see them really, especially if Adams doesn't play, just focusing on the run and you're right, kind of taking their shots as they come over the middle of the field. 'Cause you're right, those corners pretty good still, you know, especially Lattimore. So I'll bring up, you know, every Packers fan and some Packers media's favorite guy, Taysom Hill. Whatever. He's been in New Orleans forever now. I feel like that seems to me like ancient history, Tom. But, you know, I mean, he's a guy who is running around at times. What do you make of him? And does Sean Payton, because they're in this sort of offensive funk, does Sean Payton turn to that guy to say, throw it deep for us? Does he want Drew Brees to throw it to him a little more often? It feels like he hasn't been as involved offensively, maybe because, you know, they don't want to put him physically at risk for potential quarterback play later. Where are you at with Taysom Hill, the 30-year-old with 1,000 yards that everyone seems to think is, you know, the second coming?
Yeah, I like Taysom Hill. You know, I was here when they cut him, and I thought that was one of the dumbest moves they had made in quite a long time. He was, you know, he was not a great quarterback, but there were things there to work with. And, you know, Peyton has decided to turn him into a gadget guy for right now. And I don't know if he'll succeed Brees, but you still have to kind of be wary of him. They use him. He can be used as a decoy on X's and O's. With Leroy Butler this week, we looked at a play where he lined up as a tight end in a 2-point stance and then runs deep and clears out. You know, they had to honor him, and he cleared out a huge opening for the tight end. So that's the kind of stuff he's going to do. His numbers probably aren't going to be great, but, you know, you could see him coming in and maybe doing what Kaepernick did in, you know, his first year against the Packers when they came in and ran a bunch of option and just took the Packers by surprise. Who knows? Maybe that kind of thing. Sean Payton's got to come up with something to win this game, and who knows? That might be it. Something like that.
Yeah, it's obviously fans could kind of tell from my tone of voice. I guess I'm not discounting Taysom Hill's physical ability. I guess I get a little tired of the genuflection over kind of a gadget guy, but the end of his career, but
there's
right,
no reason to worship him by any means.
It's but
he's someone you got to think about,
right? To kind of like Tyler Irvin to a an extent. You know, Tyler Rivers is not going to throw the ball, but that kind of guy that comes in and can create issues. So even if he doesn't get the ball, hit those fly sweeps or fly motions or the orbit motions create openings for other players. So we've run through some of these matchups on the field, Tom. What about the sideline matchup here? 13-3 last year, Matt LaFleur, we talked about it last year as his second year as a play caller only. We thought he put together good game plans and called, had some decent stuff, obviously through two games. We've seen varying game plans through 2 weeks based on what the opponent did. Where are you at with this one? You know, especially if Sean Payton, the guy who's won a Super Bowl and been there a long, long time. And I don't know, what do you make of Matt LaFleur going on to New Orleans and maybe having to deal with a guy who has a lot of tricks up his sleeve and isn't afraid to maybe push the envelope a little bit?
I think this is a game to flex their rushing muscles to try to get it going on the ground. And the one thing that throws everything off is that there's no such thing as a road game anymore. You don't have to settle the crowd down. You don't have to try to run the ball and try to get the crowd to get quiet a little bit. You can go out there and start firing right off the bat, and it's not a problem. The noise isn't a problem. Communication isn't a problem. So I'm always a little bit hesitant to talk about establishing the run because I don't know if you need to on the road anymore. I think you can just start out attacking. But even then, I think it's smart to make New Orleans play the run first, see how they're going to play the run, and then kind of work all off of that. And you're going to have a hard time consistently beating their secondary. They're pretty darn good. And depending on Adam's status, I just think it's make their corners and safeties tackle. So, get Lazard in there and, Tanyan and Mercedes Lewis and see if you can just pound the ball a little bit.
To flip it around, where do you think Mike Pettine and this defense are at? I guess it was incorrect of me to say it's a LaFleur Payton thing because they're both offensive guys. You wrote about this week, kind of a slow start for this defense through 2 weeks. The pick six helps, of course, but they've given up 50 something points in 2 weeks, and made the offense work to win those games, at least late against Minnesota and then early to come back from a couple scores down against Detroit. I don't know. I think the run defense is what it is, Tom. And so does Sean Payton push that envelope? You mentioned establishing the run. Is that one of the things where the Saints get back to that and not put it in Drew Brees' hands until the Packers can prove they, I feel like this is the thing we're going to ask every week, but
I think the Packers played on their heels for a while. Early in games, they've been playing on their heels, and that was sort of their MO Pettine's first year. They would always come out kind of slow. The opposition scored touchdowns on first drives like half of the first eight games. They have to – this is year two of their defense. There's not that many new guys. They should have come out in a far better place than they are now. I mean, the offense is in year two, and they came out just firing out of the gate, and these guys came out stumbling out of the gate. So, there was good signs in the fourth quarter against the Lions, but there's just been no consistency, and – I would have thought that they would have been better, even with the loss of Kenny Clark, because the Vikings were moving the ball when Kenny Clark was in the game. So I don't know if you can make that fully an excuse.
Well, that's an easy transition. I'm sure some Packers fans are excited by the report that 31-year-old Damon Snacks Harrison has decided to play football in 2020, and he listed the Packers as a team he would like to visit or has scheduled a visit to. Harrison said on Twitter that the Packers had reached out to his representation in the offseason in some capacity, but at that point he wasn't yet interested in playing, I guess. So I'll go there, Tom. Maybe not Harrison specifically, but the idea that this team can add a veteran player to help at this point on defense. I'm one of those guys who feels if dudes are on the street in mid-September, it's for a reason. And I'm a little incredulous as to what impact they really could make, but maybe it's possible. I don't know. What do you think? Just in general, whether it's Harrison or not, is that type of thing something that they should consider? Even if it's a financially like a minimum deal, they're still trying to get these other contracts done for their own guys. I don't know. Where do you fall on this in-season addition from a street free agent?
Yeah, I don't think Harrison's coming back for a minimum wage contract. So I think you can't – every time a guy gets hurt, you can't go and spend money to replace them. It's part of the game. You know, you have to have this class of player that doesn't make that much that serves as a backup. And it, the price for Aaron Jones has only gone up. Bakhtiari's price is way up there. Do you want to re-sign Kevin King? You probably do. I just think they got to be really judicious with their money. And I'm not usually like that. I'm usually someone who says you can make cap room if you need it. But they're getting to a place where they're going to have a lot of high-priced players, and that means you have to make sacrifices. And so it means if Kenny Clark gets hurt, you don't go out and sign a guy for $1 million or $2 million or whatever it's going to cost. You just have to suck it up and go with who you got. And a lot of teams have to do that. And so I don't think you have to rush out and do that. I would talk to him and see if he could get a minimum wage deal, but I wouldn't go much beyond that.
Yeah, and if Packers fans heard David Bakhtiari, who just said, of course it can happen. Look at all these other teams. Just get guys to restructure. It can happen, and which is funny because he's basically talking about other people's money at that point. But if people doubted that Packers are being mindful of this, I mean, look, Tom, the fact that they've gone a couple weeks now with one or two spots open on their 53-man roster, there's Russ Ball saving some pennies every week with that. I mean, and I don't know what that does for them in the long run, but it's clearly something they're thinking about because they're doing it on like the most like smallest level possible, right?
Yeah, well, he's probably got a piggy bank on his desk, you know, and every time they have 51 guys on the roster, he puts some change in there, you know, his emergency fund. Yeah, they gotta do it. So why waste money you don't necessarily need to spend? And it's probably not going to help you sign David Bakhtiari. But it may help you later in the year when you've got a sign. Maybe you have a rash of injuries somewhere and you do need to sign somebody. So I understand what they're doing. But again, you know, they just can't run out and sign every veteran every time they have an injury, especially when it's not a season-ending injury. They got to be judicious with their money.
Yeah, and so before we wrap up and, you know, we will be back with you guys late. Well, I guess it'd be Monday morning. Let's just call it Monday morning, Tom.
With the Green
19 post game podcast. Any final thoughts as the Packers get ready for their first primetime game on the road in New Orleans? I think the plan is still minimal fans or some fans or whatever.
I think they came to agreement there would be no fans.
Okay.
So I think the city decided that they weren't ready for that. And so it was really hard to find that. I was looking online for the final word on that. But the city has from what I could tell, has said no fans. So maybe someone can show me that that's not the case, but that's the last thing I saw. So, and there will be no media there. Well, at least from Green Bay or Milwaukee. From what I understand, none of us are making the trip. So that's got to be a first in Packers history, modern day history, that there won't be any reporters. No one wants to spend the money to go there. And, you know, it's understandable too with COVID, how much traveling people right. want to do. So it doesn't mean we won't have our usual coverage. We're going to have all the interviews and I'll have the live blog going. And so we'll have plenty afterwards.
Yeah, so we will. So be sure to work, jump on that live blog with Tom. You should be going a little smoother as that goes. So don't, if you left at any point in the last week or two, go back on Sunday night. Go bother Tom.
Yeah, I think we got that fixed finally.
Yeah, which will be good. And of course, you know, Olivia Reiner, Ryan Wood post game, Olivia and Pete pregame. We'll have all our other stuff and. Leroy Butler, and, are you with Leroy after?
We're going to do pregame.
Okay.
So catch us at about 6:30 after Olivia and Pete, a little while after that. So be sure you jump on that too. We'll talk all about what's coming up.
Yeah. So make sure to subscribe. It's a great time to do it. Not just as the Packers get rolling, the Brewers fighting for a playoff spot. Badgers football is going to start. And, of course, there's all these other real things in the world. We have a $39 year-long subscription, jsonline.com/deals. Get over there. Everything you could possibly need if you live in the state of Wisconsin or are a fan of Wisconsin sports. If you're not, if you're just a Packers fan, go to packersnews.com. We thank all of our global listeners and national listeners. So just go there, subscribe, and download the app, turn on notifications, and you can get everything we do as it happens, as we do it. So for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you early Monday morning. See you soon.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.